I'm John Walden from Colorado Springs. Would you like to open your Bible to the third chapter of Philippians? We're having a Bible study here on this very wonderful little epistle. So many nice things for Christians and a great deal said in here for those who haven't trusted Christ yet. We've reached verse 14 of the third chapter where Paul said he had forgotten the things which are behind and he was pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. His one ambition, his one desire, was to please the Lord. Let us, therefore, as many as be perfect, and this word perfect means full-grown, mature, grown-up, let us be thus minded. The word mind in Philippians is very prominent, and it always means to think the Lord's thoughts after him, to have the same thoughts that he has about things. This is in contrast to those in verse 19 of our chapter who mind earthly things, who are interested only in the things that have to do with this world. Now, if you have the right ambition, the same ambition the Apostle Paul had, you will be thus minded. But in case we are otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. If you're willing for the Lord to teach you, and you recognize that you haven't made the progress that you should have spiritually, it's possible for you, if you are a child of God, to make this progress. Of course, if you've never received Christ as your Savior, then you need to receive him now. Accept him as your Savior. Let the Holy Spirit of God change you as only he can. He says, nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Now, rule here is not the law, because he's already told us earlier in this chapter that we're not to walk according to the law. We have a much higher principle than the law, and this is the rule of life, that we please the Lord Jesus. We do it because we love him, not because we're bound by some rules and regulations. This is the way we live. This is our interest. A Christian has a hope, he has a prospect, he has ambitions, he has desires that amount to something. Omar Khayyam, one of the great writers of the East, said, "The stars are setting, and the caravan starts for the dawn of nothing." Isn't that hopeless? That's the way most people are living. There is no real prospect in life. Many people take their own lives because they say, "I can't bear to live. There isn't anything for me." Well, the Lord says we have something more, so let's mind the same things. Let's live up to the knowledge that the Lord has given us. Brethren, verse 17 says, "Be followers together of me." Now, this might sound conceited, but remember that he was an apostle and that the Lord had given him as an example. And remember, too, that Paul never asked them to follow him simply because he was Paul. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, he says, "Follow me as I follow Christ." So he said, "You mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example." Notice the difference between the way we walk, and the word walk, of course, simply means the course of life, the way we live. Notice the difference between the way we live and the way those live who are called the enemies of the cross of Christ in verse 18. "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ." Religious? Oh, yes. But enemies of the cross of Christ. Because they did not believe the gospel, they would not accept the cross of Christ. You see, the cross of Christ not only means that Christ died on the cross, but it means that you and I deserve to die on that cross. And many religious people will not accept that appraisal of their own worth and works. Well, thank God for those who have believed that the Lord Jesus must die on the cross to save us from destruction. He says of these people in verse 19, whose end is destruction. That is, they're not believers, and their end is to be spoiled. To destroy in the Bible never means to annihilate. We're told that when the Lord Jesus died on the cross, he destroyed him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. He didn't annihilate him. He simply spoiled him for his purpose. And when you and I reject the Lord Jesus, we can look forward to destruction, not annihilation, but our being spoiled for the purpose for which God created us. This is your only prospect, my friend, if you reject Christ, whose end is destruction. You may be very brave now, but you'll have to face God about your life of rejecting Christ. Notice that these people whose end is destruction have for their God their own appetites, whose God is their belly. In the writings of the Greek philosophers, there was one Epicurus, and we get our word Epicurean, meaning people who enjoy good food, from Epicurus. The Epicurean philosophy was, if I enjoy it, I'll do it. I'll take my kicks where I can get them. I'll do what I please to do. If I enjoy it, that's the way I live. And this man, Epicurus, said, I sacrifice my herds, not to any of the gods, but to the only god I recognize, my own belly. Well, that's the way some people live. And he says, whose glory is in their shame. They should be ashamed of their lives, but they boast of the very things that God tells us are shameful. Don't associate with people like this. Stay out of this kind of crowd, because these people mind earthly things. Now, earthly things are not always bad. Some of them may be commendable. But earthly things means the earthly viewpoint of things. We're interested in things that have to do with this earth. Let me ask you, do you live mostly for now or for then? Do you live mostly for things or for God? Even those of us who have received Christ have to be ashamed many times that we too mind earthly things. We don't have the Lord's viewpoint on things. And now he tells us in verse 20, our conversation is in heaven. The word conversation is from a Greek word, politouma, and we get our word politics from this. Citizenship is a good translation of it. Our citizenship is in heaven. You see, in the days when Paul wrote this, a large city could be given colony status by the government at Rome, and Philippi was a colony, a Roman colony. And although it was in another country, they spoke the language of Rome, they sang the songs of Rome, they were interested in the same things that Rome were interested in because they were citizens of Rome. Now, you and I are not in heaven, but we are citizens of heaven the minute we receive Christ as Savior. If you belong to the Lord, if you have accepted Christ, you are a citizen of heaven. What does this mean? Well, it means that you and I ought to speak the heavenly language. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. What do you talk about when you meet other people? The weather? Styles? Cars? Well, these things are all right in their place, but isn't your heart full enough of Christ that you have a word to say for Him? What about your songs? Could anybody tell by listening to you sing or whistle that you are a citizen of heaven? Or do you go in for the same things that others go in for? What about your actions? What about your interests? Where are you putting your money? Are you putting it in this world? Are you putting it into the next world? You see, if we're really citizens of heaven, we'll show this. This doesn't mean that we will withdraw into a kind of a hermit's life. The Lord Jesus was the most accessible of people, and yet he was separate from sinners. Well, this is what God expects of us. And not only are we citizens of heaven, but we are looking toward heaven for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you're not a Christian, you're not looking for the Lord Jesus. He'd be the last person in the world you'd want to see. But if you're a worldly Christian, if you're out of touch with the Lord, if your life is filled too full of earthly things, you're not looking for Him either. If you don't expect Him to come today, you're not looking for Him at all. You can't look for somebody later on. You may start to look for him when you believe the time is almost here. Those of us who study the Word of God and the prophecies believe that the return of the Lord is right at the door, right at the threshold. And so we ought to be looking for him. What's he going to do? The last verse of our chapter says he's going to change our vile body. That is, this body that we have now is a humiliating thing. It's going to be changed someday and fashioned like unto his glorious body. When the Lord Jesus rose from the dead, he had a body in which he could pass through walls, appear in the presence of the believers in a locker room, could suddenly be in some other place miles away. You and I are going to have bodies that are fitted for heaven. When men go out into space, they must carry a little bubble of this earth's atmosphere with them, because they're not fitted for space. But when the Lord takes us home to heaven, without benefit of spaceships, he's going to take us there in a moment. He's going to take us there in a changed body. We're going to be like the Lord Jesus. Now, he's going to do this by the same working, and this word is only used of supernatural power in the New Testament, by the same working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. The same Holy Spirit that is working in believers now to make us more like Christ morally is going to work in our bodies to make us exactly like him physically. Now, don't be satisfied simply in looking forward to the time when the Lord is going to make you like himself physically. He wants you to begin to become like himself now. And by daily occupation with Christ, by the study of his word, by a desire to be like him, the Holy Spirit works in our hearts to make us a little bit more each day like the Lord Jesus Christ. What could you and I ask for more, brother and sister, than to be just like Christ? I don't know much about the new body. I don't know much about heaven. But I do know that if I'm going to be just like the Lord Jesus, that would satisfy me perfectly. I couldn't think of anything better. Well, this is our hope and our prospect. We belong to heaven. We're looking for the Lord from heaven. Let us therefore live lives of the citizens of heaven. And if you're not yet a citizen of heaven, do trust the Savior just now. Lord Jesus, we thank thee for all thou hast done for us. We thank thee for all thou art going to do for us in the coming day. We thank thee for thy love and death at the cross and thy resurrection life for us. We give thee our thanks in thy own name. Amen.